Working as a correctional officer at Kirkland Correctional Institution changed everything I believed about crime and society. Surrounded by murderers, rapists, and violent criminals who looked just like me, I noticed three disturbing patterns. Most inmates came from fatherless homes, lacked education, and lived in generational poverty. These weren't coincidences, they were manufactured outcomes of systemic failure. The prison population explosion tells a devastating story. South Carolina went from three prisons in 1980 to 30 by 2000. Problems barely existing in 1963 became epidemics afterward. AIDS devastated communities, mass incarceration separated families, and homicide became the leading cause of death for black men between 15 to 34. Working in prison developed my ability to recognize evil in real time. My physical survival literally depended on it. What's most troubling isn't just the individual tragedies, but the pattern. Nearly every major urban ghetto, open-air drug market, deteriorating housing project, chronically failing school, and abortion clinic exists under long-term democratic political control. These aren't random accidents or unfortunate byproducts. They're features of a system designed to create dependency. Like Quasimodo being taught by Judge Frollo to hate himself, generations have been conditioned to view themselves through a lens of perpetual victimhood rather than personal agency. A dangerous lie in modern politics is that voting decisions exist in a moral vacuum, that supporting policies can be separated from their ethical consequences. This creates a slaughterhouse principle, where people believe being one step removed from evil actions provides immunity from responsibility. Just as meat consumers cannot distance themselves from animal treatment, voters cannot disconnect from the impacts of their political choices. Emmett Till's tragic story illustrates this principle. While his murderers bear primary guilt, the black man who identified him under duress still carries moral responsibility. Similarly, voters cannot escape accountability for supporting policies that violate fundamental principles. In the American system, we are sovereigns with servants, not subjects with leaders. Our votes directly empower representatives, making us responsible for their actions. When politicians implement harmful policies through discriminatory housing or aggressive policing, those who voted for them share responsibility. Democrats often deflect criticism by misusing scripture, quoting "judge not," while ignoring passages about moral discernment. God's moral law supersedes political affiliations, and voters cannot escape responsibility for supporting policies that violate higher principles. A stark disconnect exists between pro-integration rhetoric and segregated reality in America's cities. While Democrats publicly champion integration, their strongholds include some of the nation's most segregated communities, from racially drawn districts to economically isolated urban centers. This paradox emerged visibly in 1989's Project Ratfuck, a collaboration between the Republican National Committee and Congressional Black Caucus that created more majority black constituencies. Republicans gained broader House control, while Democrats secured dominance in these segregated districts. The modern Democratic power structure in urban areas operates like traditional slumlords, profiting from concentrated poverty while publicly lamenting it. Through control of education, housing, and social services, they've created a self-perpetuating cycle of isolation and dependence. We must distinguish between organic community formation and engineered segregation. The issue isn't black Americans choosing predominantly black neighborhoods. It's the systematic use of barriers isolating communities from opportunity. True segregation maintains single-party control through deliberate separation of populations from natural support systems. Democratic leadership offers only conditional, controlling love, resembling a master-slave relationship. Their political history promotes division while claiming unity, and destruction while promising construction. Like the prison captain in Cool Hand Luke, they claim to help the very groups they oppress. C.S. Lewis observed that tyranny exercised for the good of its victim may be the most oppressive. Those who torment others for their supposed benefit never stop, convinced of their righteousness. This describes their approach to minority communities, implementing policies that perpetuate dependency while claiming to help. Democrats monetize poverty, spending up to $100,000 per person to maintain dependency while distributing minimal direct aid. Their platform favors government control over individual liberty and community self-determination. Democrat-controlled cities demonstrate the results, crime-ridden and dysfunctional by design, with politicians advancing by creating problems rather than solving them. This pattern mirrors Orwell's Animal Farm, where the pigs exploit hard-working animals for their own interests. Black Americans in Democratic strongholds often resemble Boxer the horse, loyal supporters who work tirelessly only to be betrayed when no longer useful. The progressive agenda undermines Christianity and traditional family structures, institutions that historically provided stability in Black communities. America's birth rate has plummeted from 2.0 to 0.73 since 2009, coinciding with ideologies separating sexuality from reproduction and family formation. The Equality Act and similar legislation function as Daniel test laws, forcing Christians to choose between violating faith or facing punishment. Small business owners, religious schools, and faith-based adoption agencies face legal challenges threatening their existence if they maintain traditional beliefs. Even gay conservative Brad Palumbo criticizes the Equality Act for undermining religious freedom. Despite legal victories for LGBTQ rights, continued action against religious institutions suggests the goal is enforced conformity rather than equality. Black churches and strong families helped communities survive segregation and economic hardship, yet current policies undermine these support systems. Government intervention cannot solve the baby bust. Only God-centered families can reverse this trend. Communities with higher birth rates and stronger social cohesion maintain them through religious participation and traditional family structures. Parental freedom in education faces persistent opposition despite seeming obvious. The COVID pandemic highlighted this tension. Parents struggled while teachers received full salaries for minimal remote instruction, and private schools operated successfully while public schools remained closed. The resistance to school choice masks an agenda of centralized control behind equity concerns. Even parents who might ultimately select public education deserve the right to decide freely. African American families suffer disproportionately, with their children often trapped in failing schools. In many major cities, less than 30% of students in predominantly minority schools achieve grade-level proficiency, while administrative costs exceed classroom spending. School choice threatens established power structures by potentially shifting control over educational content and values. The current monopolistic system allows a small group to determine curriculum, teaching methods, and cultural messaging. Given genuine options, many parents prefer schools emphasizing academic rigor, traditional values, and historical accuracy over ideological programming. Since George Floyd's death, Democrats have positioned racism as America's greatest problem, diverting attention from deeper issues: family breakdown, educational failure, economic dependency, and cultural dysfunction, problems often worsened by their own policies. Democrats paradoxically claim the government is racist while proposing to expand that same government to combat racism. This contradiction suggests their priority is growing government power rather than solving problems. Their policies consistently undermine the foundations of success: strong families, quality education, economic opportunity, and personal responsibility. The victim narrative perpetuates the belief that racism makes Black success impossible, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy and fostering government dependency rather than self-development. The solution requires returning to fundamental principles: developing valuable skills, practicing faith, and acquiring knowledge. Dignity stems from God and self-development, not government programs. Moving forward means rejecting both racism and victimhood while embracing personal responsibility, family strength, educational excellence, and self-determination.